In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking again today about giving thanks for everything. That's an expression that we often use to our friends. When we're greatly indebted for many favors, we try to enumerate them. We're afraid maybe we've forgotten something, so we say, thanks for everything. Would you ever really thoughtfully and honestly be able to say that to God? If you believe that He's in charge, doesn't it sometimes seem as though He lets you down and you're supposed to say thanks for that? I read you the story yesterday of my friend Nay Bailey, who had her travel folder stolen with airline tickets, passport, traveler's checks, and money in Poland. And she chose with her will to thank God for what had happened. And she said, Lord, I trust that somehow you are going to work it together for my good. I have unbelief as I ask this, but I ask you in the power and authority of Jesus' name that they will throw it down and somehow I will get it back. Well, guess what? Nay got it back. But then she said, even if she had never gotten it back, she would still cling to the trustworthiness of God. And her thanks wouldn't have gone for nothing. It did work. She got her travel documents back. But suppose it had worked in another way. The point was, she was being obedient to God, giving thanks in everything. And in addition to giving thanks, she was thereby being delivered from a mean and complaining spirit, and she maintained unbroken fellowship with the Lord. Those are three things that you and I need to learn, aren't they? When we learn to give thanks, we are being obedient to God, we are delivered from a mean and complaining spirit, and we maintain unbroken fellowship with the Lord. Now, the truth is that satisfaction is found only in Christ in the long run. It's in the finding Him in all things, whether in joy or pain, light or darkness. Finding Him, looking to Him, trusting Him, thanking Him, that's the secret of happiness, of spiritual satisfaction. The world is in a desperate search for happiness. It always looks to situations or persons or places or things, thinking that in those things they will find happiness. I remember a cartoon in The New Yorker of a man and woman driving along in a very luxurious car. And the woman says to her husband, well, dear, since this lovely car has not brought us happiness, I'm thinking of recarpeting the whole house. Here's the testimony of Eugene O'Neill, famous playwright. I'm fed to the teeth with the theater. The game isn't worth the candle. If I got any real spiritual satisfaction out of success in the theater, it might compensate. But I don't. Success is as flat, spiritually speaking, as failure. After the unprecedented critical acclaim to Morning Becomes Electra, which is one of his plays, I was in bed nearly a week, overcome by profoundest gloom and nervous exhaustion. There was no spiritual satisfaction to be found in the theater, even though Eugene O'Neill made it right to the top as a playwright. He was fed to the teeth with it. The game isn't worth the candle. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything is meaningless and a striving after wind. Where do we find spiritual satisfaction? We find it in fellowship with Christ, obedience to Christ. That's where true happiness comes. And it's as we learn to thank God for everything in our lives, for the traffic jam, for the broken furnace, for the sick child. Thank God for a sick child? Yes, because God has something to teach that child. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Of course, you're to pray that the Lord will heal that child. God tells us that we are to make our requests known to Him. But thank Him that He has something to teach you in that form of suffering, because probably the parent suffers more than the child in other ways, and He has something to teach the child, even that little child. Now, perhaps it's an infant. We don't know what God is doing in the heart and mind of an infant, do we? Any more than we know what God is doing in a suffering dog. And it broke my heart to see my little Scotty McDuff die of cancer. He was so sweet. He got so much sweeter than he ever was before. You know, Scotty dogs, Scottish terriers, they're really feisty little animals. But he got very meek and quiet and sweet. And it was as if he didn't want me to see him suffer, because he would go out and hide in the backyard and cover himself with leaves. That made me suffer in a way that he wasn't suffering. And yet, we are to learn to give thanks in everything, because satisfaction only is found in Christ in the long run. The prophet Habakkuk gives us a great lesson in this too. In that beautiful psalm that he writes in Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 19, he says, "I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights." Whatever may have seemed outrageous in what I've said in this program about thanking God in everything, remember that this is what the Scripture teaches us. And it's not empty words. It transforms me when I learn to thank God for the things that happen. Thank Him as Ney did, because we know that He knows exactly what He's doing, that He is going to work it together for good. We have His promise. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. Do you expect to see that pattern? I don't, not here on earth, but I do expect to see it when God's finished with us, and He is not finished with us yet. A prayer written by Phillips Brooks, author of O Little Town of Bethlehem, was given to me many years ago by my grandfather. It's become one of the prayers of my life. O Lord, by all Thy dealings with us, whether of joy or pain, of light or darkness, may we be brought to Thee. May we value no treatment of Thy grace simply because it makes us happy or because it makes us sad, but may all that Thou sendest us bring us to Thee, that we may be sure in every disappointment that Thou art still loving us, and in every enforced idleness, there's a word for you who are sick in bed, that Thou art still using us, and in every death, Thou art still giving us life, even as in His death Thou didst give life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I might as well give you one more time that poem about the pattern that God is working on, by Grant Colfax Tuller. "My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Sometimes He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. You know, we wouldn't really need trust, would we, if God had already unrolled the pattern? If you and I could figure out with our minds how any given event fits into God's pattern for good, we wouldn't need faith. Faith operates in the dark. Faith operates where there are no explanations, where there seems to be no light even at the end of the tunnel. God is in charge. God is in the tunnel. God is still in the dark. God is the dark. The psalmist refers to how God hides himself in darkness. It sometimes seems as though God is wrapped in cloud, as Amy Carmichael put it, so that prayer couldn't even get through to him. We don't get a glimmer of hope, not even a whisper of encouragement sometimes. Why? In order to teach us to trust. A little child trusts his father's hand in the dark, doesn't he? He doesn't need to know anything else. He doesn't have to be able to see where they're going or figure out how they're going to get through this dark room. All he knows is his father, and he can feel the warm strength of his father's hand. Should we be less trusting than a little child? May God help us to give thanks even when there are no figs on the tree, no grapes on the vine, no cattle in the stall. Yet may we rejoice in God our Savior.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.